Hello, this is Ruin Willow with the... with Ruin Willow podcast. Hello, everyone. I'm super excited to talk to this person. I have been on his podcast several times as a co-host, so he's coming on my podcast this time. So I'm super excited to talk with him. And we're going to talk about sex and sexuality and whatever we want. We're going to go wherever we want because that's what I do. I like, you know, conversation. Wherever it goes, that's where it goes, right? And so this is, I want to introduce you to Rae Chase, who is the host of the Happy Hour podcast, which, like I said, I have co-hosted several times. I enjoy doing it. It's super fun. He does a lot of different fun games on his show. So it's different than mine, but it's super fun. I always enjoy it and have a good time. So check out the Happy Hour podcast. It's on YouTube, PodNation TV. And are you on podcast apps too?
I am not, but we are posting episodes exclusive to X as well, because remember, we now have the no holds barred versions of the episodes, which are exclusive to Pod Nation and Twitter/X. A lot of people don't know it as X yet, so I always try to say Twitter/X, the X-rated version of Twitter.
Hey, yeah, I bet he didn't intend that, did he?
Yeah.
But it's true.
Yes.
Rae is also a 20-year pro wrestling veteran. So I think it'd be fun to talk about some of that too, because I don't know much about that. So that would be a fun topic for us to talk about too. Welcome.
Thank you for having me. I think I messaged you not too long ago. I'm like, hey, you ever want me to pop on? Let me know, because you're always on our show. And I mean, it's always fun. Like, you never know what to expect from our show. I always have a little bit of something. And you've been a part of the couple of the No Holds Barred versions, which kind of turned the knob up on the amperage of the show a lot recently anyways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's always fun. And it's always a pleasure having you on.
I love being there. And I forgot to say, this is Ruin Willow of the with Ruin Willow podcast. And I'm kind of saying it later now because I think you're the one who told me that you can't say fuck in the first minute. And I was like, I always said fuck in the first minute. And you know, this is probably why they're like dampering me down. This is my fourth attempt at a channel. Fourth attempt. But I always said fuck in the beginning. So, and I don't put any erotica fiction on YouTube anymore either, because they don't like that. The interviews are a little bit different. They kind of view those a little bit differently. So I think that's my staying power, is to not put the actual erotica on YouTube. So how are you today?
Good, good. Just rainy, very, very awfully rainy day here in Maryland. Of course, I'm in Baltimore, and even at work going to Jersey, it just literally just torrential downpour just followed me all day long. And it was just awful, awful, awful.
No fun at all. Oh, and I forgot to say, I have my Pod Nation shirt on.
Oh, nice. Nice. Make sure everybody gives it.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, make sure everybody picks up Pod Nation merchandise. It's always fun to pick up, get some of that stuff. Nice little alien guy on there.
Exactly. And then you and I are both in the after hours category, or I don't know, what do you call it? Category, I guess, right?
It is after Pod Nation TV After Dark. I think it's After Dark.
After Dark. That's what it is, not After Hours. After Dark. Got to get the terminology right, because people want to find it, right?
Yeah. And the most recent episode, like I just posted an episode today, it's on X/Twitter. It can't go on Pod Nation yet because we need to clear out room on Pod Nation. It happens every so often, but it should be up tomorrow for those of you watching on Pod Nation, Roku, you know, whatever for there. So it should be there tomorrow.
And why don't you say a little bit about your show? Like, give a little blurb about what you do and who you interview.
Well, the Happy Hour podcast, HH Pod. I mean, that's the thing. One thing that I kind of doomed myself with the show is by naming it the Happy Hour podcast. There's all kinds of happy hour shows. So if you Google that shit, it's going to, you know, it won't come right to our show. Like, you have to look a little bit. I always tell people go to hhpod.com. But it evolved from an old TV show we used to do. So, of course, I did professional wrestling for over 20 years. A couple of the guys I knew, we were like, hey, why don't we, you know, we had a guy who was the booker in the company, and he used to do a TV show way back when, Local Access TV show called Hamilton's Happy Hour. And he's like, hey, I wanted to bring it back. It was kind of like Wayne's World kind of mixed with like The Man Show, you know, something like that. And he did it in his basement. He would do stuff like, he would have like the Homeless Olympics and stuff like that. And we were like, oh man, let's do it. So we get everything in gear to do it. And then he kind of like kind of flaked on it. So we're like, okay, well, we can't still do this as Hamilton's happy hour. So it became happy hour TV. And I remember we were doing it and we're like, well, you know, and Joe Hamilton, who was the guy who ran Hamilton's happy hour, he's like, you know, I would have strippers, all that stuff on. So the first interview we ever did for that was with the band Cinder Road. They were a local band. They had like a couple hit songs nationally. They're no longer around. But I just, I'm one of those ones that I believe you miss any of the shots you don't take. So I send out emails regardless. The people, whether they say no, they say no. I got used to that in pro wrestling, you know. So I sent out an email to the late, great Jessie Jane. So anybody out there, Jessie Jane, and she was coming to town at Hustler Club and we're like, hey, can we interview you? And she's like, yes. So she kind of was like, when we found out she passed a couple of months ago, it was sad for us because she was kind of like the rocket that kind of carried Happy Hour TV into its thing. So we had her on the show four times. It was fun. We did, I think it was three full seasons on Baltimore City and Anne Arundel County local access TV late night. But it was so much that went into it. Like the editing that I do now is nothing compared to like, we had to have everything ready. We had to do all the episodes at once. So eventually I had a fallout with the other, with one of my good friends who was the other host, all that stuff. Plus his basement, which was our set, caught on fire. We lost all of season four and all of season five. So this was like 2010, 2011, 2012. So years and years and years and years go by. So around like 2019, I'm at a party and one of the guys I know, he's like, hey, he's like, why don't you bring that back? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? Like, I don't have the equipment to do it. He's like, well, why don't you do it as a podcast? And I'm like, well, that's intriguing. So I brought it back, kept the same thing because I had Happy Hour TV. At one point, I wrestled as Mr. Happy Hour Chase Rawlings. And and also, I'm like, well, Happy Hour, probably keep it kind of as a brand. Like, that's, you know, what it is. So I did that. And when it first started, we literally had an array of guests, just who's who. We would have an author one week, porn star next week, you know, an actress, you know, whoever, all that stuff. But me and my friend Matt, we're just so out there personalities. And you've been on our show. Like, I'm literally like, I would take something way out of left field. And that's where we go. And like a lot of times, some of the regular normal guests would kind of be like deer in headlights. And then around the time when we got the first nomination for the first AVN Awards, that's when we're just kind of like, okay, well, we're going to go strictly to the adult side. Like, we're going to keep it just the adult stuff. If we get other people, that's fine. But, you know, we're going to explain to people, hey, this is an adult-driven show. So, you know, 90%, 99.9% of our guests are adult-driven. We just recently rebranded it to a no-holds-barred version and a regular version. So no-holds-barred. Any of the videos I see, whatever happens, happens. So, you know, there's a lot of weird videos of people. Were you there? Yeah, you were there when we had the stuff with the frying pans and all that stuff. And like the girl.
Yes, and the chair fucking, yes. And,
like, and it's just stuff that like comes out of my mind. And I'm like, this is going to make great for a conversation piece or something like that. So it's fun. Just all about having fun. And I'm sure you can agree to that, you know, if you love doing it, then just keep doing it. You know, just keep on grinding along with it.
And it's fun. And it's fun to talk to people as you know, and, you know, you do some fun games on yours too, which is kind of fun for people to know, like if they watch your show, they know to expect to see those fun games again, but they're going to get different reactions because you have different guests. So it's a good mix, I think. And it's fun. And you can, you know, you can go lots of different places, especially now that you're doing no holds barred. Is that what you called it?
That's a wrestling term. And I like, it's funny because everything kind of like, you can see the championship belts behind me that I won. The one actually is for HH Pod Rumble, which the one game we play Incoherent. We bring back 30 friends of the show, which we have already invited you, Rune, if you're available, you know, come for that. We invite back 30 friends / former guests, and elimination style, kind of like the Royal Rumble in WWE. If you follow wrestling, elimination style, last person winning gets an authentic championship belt. I got a replica made up. And that way, when we do our local events, I can take the belt with me and people can pose with the belt. Or when we go to Exotica, we can take the belt to Exotica with us. And, you know, all that stuff. So no other podcast sends out championship belts to people like that. So I will.
You are unique. Yes.
Yes.
I totally agree. And then if people want to watch you on YouTube, that's one just a little bit censored, right?
Yes. Yes. That's fully censored. You get a big censor bar. You will hear the sounds in the background, but you will not see anything there that says, make sure you find this on Pod Nation TV or X/Twitter if you want to see this content. So
it's like a little bit of a hint of what it is, but it's kind of, it's blocked out.
Yes. Kind of yes. They get a little bit of a hint. They hear our reactions and it's just kind of like, okay, well, we need to see what's going on. Like me and Rob did the show this week and unfortunately the guests didn't show up, but we didn't realize until we were midway through and we had a video of a girl, like it was Easter. So it was our Easter special. So there was a girl that shoved 11 eggs into her vagina. And then she was one by one. And we were just sitting there. We're like, this is like a Pez dispenser. Like, you know, so.
Oh, it gives me willies. I hope they were hard boiled because if they broke in her, oh my gosh.
They were actually something called dragon eggs. They were like these big, like solid dragon eggs looking things or whatever. Okay, yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
They weren't like eggs that with yolk and all that. Because that sounds like a nightmare. Salmonella, I'm thinking. I'm like, salmonella in the pussy. No.
Yes. No. That is a big no.
That sounds terrible. That sounds funny, though. Like, if it just, like, pops out like that. I wonder if she, like, figured out how many she could put in there. And, like, okay, that's my max.
Yeah. Like, and that's what we say. We're like, how did this start? Did it just start with one and then you go to two? Like, the name of the episode is One Egg Short of a Dozen. And that's, like, that's the whole thing because there was 11. And I'm like, you know, how does it get to this point? Like, I don't understand.
I'm going to get nerdy physiological on it too, because when you're aroused, your vagina expands. So if she's aroused, she could get more in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was like shoving, like she was like fisting herself while putting them in there. And yeah, like it got to the point that like, you ever see like a dog, like a golden retriever with too many tennis balls in its mouth? It was like that, but as a pussy.
You could see it on the outside. You could see her bulging.
Yes. You could see them inside. And it was like, wait a minute. You could see orange, green, yellow, blue. And it was like, okay. Man. And then all of a sudden they were like, blah, 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 and you're like, I did not expect that.
Oh, that's insane. That sounds so crazy. I love having people on. I love talking about different things with people. But one of my focuses for my podcast is to talk about sexuality because people don't talk about it. It's kind of taboo in our culture, right? I mean, obviously, you know, and if people, they don't talk about it casually. It's just a big taboo thing. So I feel like the more we talk about it, this is a natural act, right? This is why we're all here. You know, this is why we're all here. So, you know, if we talk about it more, I feel like it makes it less taboo and more natural. So that's one reason why I love to talk about it. And, you know, people who want to share what they want to share, you know, that's cool. And I happen to be very open myself.
Yeah.
So one of the first questions I usually ask people when we're doing this kind of line of questioning is, what is your favorite sexual position and why?
What is my favorite sexual position and why? I like doggy because I feel completely in control with that. Like I can kind of do whatever I want. And I'm a big like kind of ass slapper with that too. Mm-hmm. Like, so, you know, there's a lot of like more, you know, grabbing on that you can do because I like to, you know, use, you know, their momentum with my momentum and, you know, all that stuff as well. So they're, you know, I think that for me is my favorite.
That seems to be very common. And the interesting thing I'll say is, because I ask this of a lot of people, it is often a favorite of women as well.
Yes.
It's not just men. And so some people have the attitude like, or the viewpoint that it's more men that like that. But it's not true. So many women pick that as their favorite as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's just a thing with it. It's like, you know, you go through all these different positions and then you get to that. And I mean, I feel like that there's more velocity with that too. Mm-hmm. Like it's a lot easier to have a lot more velocity and, you know, more so control. Like, I don't think I've ever heard of somebody, and we've had people talk about this on my show. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that they broke their dick while doing doggy. Like, yeah, I've heard it happening, but normally that's if someone's doing reverse cowgirl, you know, some other weird position. It's never happened during doggy, at least that I know of.
Isn't that interesting? And do you think it's because a man tends to be more in control at that point in that position? Or what do you think it is?
I think so. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, for me, like, it just kind of depends. Because, I mean, even if you're doing it and they're kind of, like, bent over something, or if you're both on your knees on the bed, or just in general, I feel like that, like, to me, there's a little bit more of a comfort level with that, a little bit. Like, it's a little bit more comfortable. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I want to say it feels more, like, natural. Like, I mean, obviously, like, missionary is always the go-to. Like, that's the OG.
Yeah.
You know, position or whatever.
But, yes.
You know, doggy is also the kind of thing that if you wanted to pull hair, you could pull hair. If you wanted the fish hook, you could fish hook. If you want to hold the arms, right. You can hold the arms. If you want to hold the waist, you can hold the waist. If you want to hold, you know, that their love handles, you can hold their love handles. Like that, that's just the whole thing, you know. And also, it's the kind of thing that if, you know, like, let's say if it's a man and a woman and, you know, they like vaginal, but then they also like anal, both of those can happen. Pretty easy from that position, you know. So yes, and yes. Even like if you're a man and it's man on man, it's the kind of thing that it's also very easy that you could do doggy and then reach over and jerk him off while you're doing doggy or something like that as well. So, you know, I feel like that's why it's kind of popular. There's a lot of things that can go on with that.
Right. And for the woman too, she could reach up or he could reach around and stimulate the clit. It's just It's conducive to that, and it's easy to do. So it's not like it's this different thing. And I think also, too, there is something to be said about the impact. It kind of sends like kind of a shockwave through the female when they get hit like that. And that can be pleasurable as well. You know what I mean? Like it can stimulate her in that way as well. So I think that makes a lot of sense. And it's just amazing to me how so many people pick it. You know, because like you think some people are like, oh, no, that's just for him. Well, it's not true. It's not just for the man. It's a lot of women pick it.
Oh, yeah.
OK, so my next question on my little list, I have this little list on my phone. What's your top fantasy or one of them that you're willing to share?
Oh, man, top fantasy. I think my top fantasy actually is something that I was able to do, and that was a threesome, and I was able to do that when I was younger. So I think a lot of guys have that, you know. Oh, I want two chicks, blah blah blah, this, that, another, and like that's like, I mean, I don't know, like I'm one of those, I'm not one of those like hard to please type people or whatever and all that, but if I could say that, it'd be like, okay, that was it, and hey, I was able to do that, which is cool, like, you know, to be able to put the cards together to be able to do something like that. Of course, you know, it was a drunken night. You know, this was way, way long ago, but, you know, it's something that happened. So I don't even really remember a lot of it. I just know that it happened and who it happened with and, you know, all that stuff.
And that brings up a thought to me, you know, when you had Ava Long on, which then I ended up having her on my podcast.
Yes.
One of the questions. So, yeah, everybody go check out the Ava Long episode on the Happy Hour podcast. When I had her on mine, I asked her, I said, what are some fantasies, your top fantasies that you haven't done that you want to do? And she said, you know what? I've really done all my fantasies. And I thought, there aren't a lot of people in this world that can say that.
Yeah.
You know, like that's pretty cool that she can say, I've tried them.
Yeah.
I've tried them all. And wow.
I've tried everything. Damn it. I've tried everything.
So now she probably can think of different ways. And her top fantasy wasn't even kinky at all. It was meeting somebody out in nature and having sex.
Oh.
I mean, that is like, isn't that like, wow? I mean,
like
kind of like
in the woods or just meeting someone in general and then going and having sex?
Like meeting someone, I don't know if she was supposed to know the person or not, but it was like going by a waterfall and experiencing the nature as they were having sex. And I'm like, wow. You know, and she obviously does her videos and stuff. And so that's something totally I did not expect her to say, which is awesome. I thought it was fantastic.
Especially coming from with as long as she's been in her industry and, you know, all that stuff. And a lot of it's fun of what have you done video wise compared to what have you done personal wise? Like that's the whole thing as well.
Right. And she said she's kind of focusing on a lot of woman on woman stuff right now. But she's done a lot of MILF too, right? Isn't that what she said?
Yeah.
I'm going to veer from my questions a moment and say, are there any guests that you've had on that you were just like, blown away, or you were like, wow, or this was my favorite.
We'll be back after a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure the man in your life grooms his carpets and his drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Have him clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch his confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and have him join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our special offer, go to manscaped.com and use code RUIN. You have to use my new code RUIN, R-U-A-N, for the 20% off and free shipping. Have you ever been doing some oral pleasure and got some hairs in your mouth or your teeth? Well, Manscaped can help with that. Try being clean shaven for spring cleaning. After he uses Manscaped, you can say, let's get some busy with some spring fever in the bedroom. Try out Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It is an amazing trimmer that features two interchangeable heads, one for taking a little off the top and the new foil blade to go smooth. If you want to go smooth for spring cleaning, make sure you try out Manscaped products. Bring on those smooth skin, sexy slaps in the bedroom. And how do you do that? Use Manscaped products to shave clean down in your pubic area. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code RUIN. You have to use my new code RUIN, R-U-A-N, all caps at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code RUIN at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in his pants, right? In your pants, if you're a man. Spring clean your groin area. Try smooth. Try it with Manscaped.
See, I get all the time, like people ask me all the time, well, who's your favorite guest? Who's your favorite guest? Who's your favorite guest? Like me, between as much as I've done wrestling wise, as much as I've done podcast wise, and the fact that I've had five concussions and I'm lucky I remember how to drive home every day.
Yeah, no,
like, it all just kind of meshes together. Like, I mean, I'm one of those ones I'm proud overall, whether it's a guest, whether it's not a guest, like just for the fact that somebody, one person, you know, enjoys the show. It could be 50,000 people who enjoy the show. Right. It'll be one person. I've wrestled in front of one person. I've wrestled in front of 10,000 people. Like, you know, it's just the whole thing of, you know, if those people enjoy it, then I'm satisfied with it. You know, and I got used to having guests. So when I don't have guests, I'm kind of like, I'm not off my game, but I'm used to having that element of, I know how I am, but the guest doesn't know how I am. So
right,
it's the whole thing. It catches them off guard and, you know, it makes more of a real organic type situation. But we've had some bangers. I mean, I think Eva, she was good. Like recently, if you look at some of the recent ones, it was nice being able to talk to Natasha Nice. She's always been one of my, you know, top five. So she's been on the show three times. She said she will come back for the Rumble. So that'll be her fourth. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Bell has always been fun. Onyx Muse is always super fun. You know, just it depends. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people we kind of vibe with that also come back and guest hosts, like Caitlin Bell, Onyx Muse, you know, just all of them who know us and know our shenanigans and, you know, all that fun stuff.
Very cool. And how do you usually find your guests? Do you just reach out to them or how do you search?
See, me, one thing I always tell people is that know how to sell yourself. And I learned that from pro wrestling, is that you got to sell to the crowd that what you're doing in this ring is believable. So when you send out like a press release or like a guest release or, you know, something like that, I had no problem putting, hey, these are all the name dropping people. These are all the people that we've had on the show before. And even when we were first starting the podcast, I still use the whole thing of we had Jesse Jane, we had Nikki Benz, we had Lisa Ann.
Right.
It may have been 5 or 6 years ago, but they don't know that, you know, so that's the whole thing. You know, you use that. And then like now I don't even really have to book guests anymore. It's kind of at the point that I work with probably about 5 or 6 PR reps that just send me guests. I'm like, who do you have? And they send me guests. And then, of course, you know, there's people who see our stuff or they hear from word of mouth how fun the show is. And then they follow us. We follow them back. And I'm like, hey, I have a free weekend this weekend. Do you want to do the show? You know, this, that, and another. So it just, before it was a little rough starting off, but you know, now we just have so many PR reps that I'm just kind of like, okay, month of May, PR rep, this is your get dates. PR rep, this is your dates. PR rep, this is your dates. And PR rep, this is your dates. So it makes it just easy with that.
And I think when you say those names too, it's actually helpful because it kind of gives you validity where, like, you know, it's like having a referral.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what it's like. And I've used that too. Like, I ask a previous guest, do you have any friends you think would like to come on, you know? And that's a great way to find people too.
Is to be like, and they see the name, they'll sit there and they'll be like, hey, that Rune girl, you know, you were on her show. Is her show good? They'll be like, oh yeah. It was great. You know, go ahead, do it. You know, it's kind of thing. It's always word of mouth. Like, you know, that you gotta just get it out there and you gotta get that reputation. And that's one thing that we've been able to do with our show is that we've been able to just put out such an impeccable reputation with guests. Like we've had maybe about 5 or 6 guests were just bad guests. And we've had one guest who just up and left the show because she was just disgusted by the things we were talking about. And you get people.
You're going to have those. Yeah.
You know, it happens.
Yeah. And you have no control over that. Some people are just weird and you can't really do anything about it. They're not flexible and they're just too opinionated.
No flexibility at all.
That's no fun. You need to be really flexible. Okay. So my next question is, have you ever hooked up with anyone just for sex?
Well, before me and my wife got, like, I'm one of those ones, I haven't really had like a lot of relationships. I've had like a couple. So, and also when you wrestle, like, it's the kind of thing we used to, you know, there for a while, book shows around like our favorite strip clubs. Okay. Well, you know, we want to go to Legs. Okay, so we want to go to Legs. Okay, so House of Pain Wrestling Federation is running a show this date in Martinsburg. Legs is in Martinsburg. Let's get ourselves booked. And then when you're kind of traveling around, people find like wrestlers. We go and drink and party all the time. So a lot, probably I would say about 80% of my hookups were that. So
through that. So, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like the same thing you hear about musicians, you know, rock bands traveling around. That ends up sometimes being a thing, you know, like that's just what they do. It's kind of in the environment and it just tends to happen.
Yeah. And I also, you know, I come from a group of friends where we would party all the time. We would party Monday through Friday, you know, Friday through Sunday and then Monday through Friday and just hookups and all that stuff happens. And then, you know, it's just that's just the way it worked.
Right. Do you miss doing the wrestling? Was it something you really loved? Or are you glad to be out of it?
I wake up every day missing pro wrestling. When you do something like that, like, I mean, I've never really done any drugs or anything like that. Like, I drink, you know, blah, blah, blah. But pro wrestling kind of is a drug. Like, when you do that, you're that. Like, I tell people, I'll be Chase Rawlings till the day I die. Like, that's, and I use a lot of that in my show. Like, you know, my show, you were on it when it was live, and I was so used to the live element, but I don't really prepare much of a script. Like, I love calling things on the fly because it's how it was in wrestling. Use a lot of terminology. Wrestling has a lot of gimmicks. There's gimmicks, and you can see that when you watch my show. You see the gimmicks. You have the AI insane, you have the game segment, you have this, you have that. I'm always thinking of new gimmicks to do, and there's very few that stay as a constant. The games are the AI insane, they're a constant, but then every so often I recycle and then bring in a new gimmick, like the most recent one, Mystery Porn Theater 3000. Like, that's great. I'm always kind of trying to recreate or reinvent, you know, a new skit or a new segment or something like that, because that's my wrestler brain always going of keep it fresh. Okay, well, we've done this for a year, reinvent yourself. That's why WWE Hall of Famer The Undertaker had the same gimmick for 30 years, is because he learned how to modify that character over a 30-year span. And, you know, it just, it, 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 that's just the way it is with wrestling. So yeah, I wake up every day, you know, missing it. I'll be 39 this month. So it's the kind of thing I'm glad I'm away from it, because like with the travel and all that stuff, a lot of times with a lot of those indie shows, you're lucky if you get $10 for gas. Of course, nowadays that's not going to do it for driving 4 hours away, the wrestle show and all that stuff. And it's like, yeah, I can't afford to get dropped on my head and, you know, not be able to work and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, every so often I'll go like up to the training facility, and I'll go up there every so often and get in the ring and help out some of the young guys, some of the guys that are still learning and, you know, all that stuff. But, you know, I'm kind of happy that I was able to roll over into this. I can still be a character. I can still, you know, talk, have fun, you know, be a personality with doing, you know, podcasting. So,
yeah. And like you're saying, you're still in your brand, but you're just switching it up a little bit. And people really like variety. I mean, just as human beings, we like variety, but we like the same. So doing a mix of that is, I think that's a good thing that would work for sure. We do like variety. We like new things, but we also like what we know. So what is a kink that you haven't tried yet that you would like to try at some point in your life? Do you have anything, or have you done them all?
Let me see. Like mine, like, I mean, I've done a few of mine, but I'm not like, I don't really, like, I think for most part, like most of the stuff that I've done, like most of the stuff I've had, I've done. Let me think. Like, I see, because that's the thing. I'm like, I've always kind of like had like the whole MILF thing, but when I was younger, I was like, I did the MILF thing. So,
right.
So like, you know, you just kind of look and you're just like, it's kind of like a Rolodex of what is it that's there or whatever and all that stuff. But yeah, I think a lot of it, because even like with the porn and all that I watch, a lot of it's like a lot of the MILF stuff. And it's like that stuff that, you know, I've done. And like, you know, I've done stuff where there's been candle wax, where you've been tied up. I was with someone who used to bite me and they would leave fucking bruise bite marks all over me, all that shit. Like,
right.
You know, just, you know, rough stuff, you know, just whatever. Like, there's nothing in general. Like, I've never really been a foot guy. Like, I don't know, like feet are like kind of weird. And like, I mean, people have like the foot fetish and all that stuff. And I'm just, no, don't like that. I've never been a big anal guy. I've never been, you know, anything like that. Like, I guess like just the commons, like, you know, stuff with like, you know, and we've talked about it on our show, like whipped cream and chocolate syrup, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
But
definitely fun. Yeah. And that stuff is like, it's not like way out there, but it's fun and kind of common, and you may have it in your fridge. So it's easy to add in here and there whenever you want it. That actually goes into my next question, which was, what porn video that watching makes you instantly turned on? Would you pick MILF for that, or would there be a different one?
Yeah, actually, it's kind of weird, because as I said, like some of the ones, like, of course, I've had Natasha on the show, so not Natasha stuff has always been going, but there's somebody out there that I discovered when I was way, way younger, Rachel Steele, a lot of her videos or whatever. Are kind of like go-tos, like, you know, it's that kind of thing that everybody has like their little folder of stuff, and I'm like, you know, it's like, okay, you know, whatever. But like, I don't know, like with me, it's kind of weird, because like on my show, like, you've seen so much and you've been exposed to so much that I always say that I'm kind of like, you know, that little angler fish swimming at the bottom of the ocean or whatever and all that, because I've seen so many things that people are just kind of like, what in the actual fuck? And people are going to do that more on the show now, because I'm getting started with a lot of the stuff. I mean, you know, and that's the kind of stuff that I'm just kind of like, well, you know, regular porn just doesn't do it anymore. Like, you know, this porn needs to have a turn of the century, mid-century chair that's clearly painted with, you know, lead paint that's going inside of some. Like, that's, you know, and it's just like, let's give this a try. Now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to pull the lotion out, because this is innovative. This is intriguing. Like, you know, it's, yeah, there's a lot, you know. My old co-host, Matt, he used to say the same thing, is that, you know, that's stuff that we would just send to each other on a daily basis, like, it just out of nowhere, you know, so. Right.
You got to see this kind of a thing. You got to check this out.
Like, you got to see this. Like, this is insane.
Oh, totally. So do you ever have any guests on where you've like
as someone that like you really liked in porn and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to this person? And have you been like felt like tongue tied talking to them or been like kind of in awe, or has that not happened to you?
Not really. I got so used to, you know, I always go back to wrestling. I got so used to with wrestling, sharing the locker room. So with certain guys, like I, you know, I wrestled WWE Hall of Famer Jake the Snake Roberts, WWE superstar Doink the Clown, you know, and various guys who are in WWE and AEW now. And it's the kind of thing that you get used to being in the locker room with these people, but also it's the kind of thing that they're also people. Like, you know, people talk to me and they're like, oh, man, it's so cool you have a podcast. Or, oh, man, it's so cool that you wrestled, you know, blah, blah, blah. I still run into wrestling fans all the time and they remember me. And it's been like 5 years since the last time I wrestled full time, like maybe six. And they still remember. And it's and like they're always blown away by like how down to earth I am. I'm like, I'm just a guy. Like, that's it. Like, you know, that's the whole thing. I'm just a guy. And that's how I kind of go into everything with everybody with my show, too. Is I'm like, you know, we're all people. We have one goal here, and that's to talk and have a good time. And I tell everybody, I was like, if we get anything out of the episode, I don't care what we talk about, as long as it's not religion, as long as it's not politics, as long as it's not worldwide stuff, I don't give a shit. As long as we have a good time, that's it. You know,
yeah, I stay away from those topics too. That's not the focus of mine. But that makes me think of something that was it. Is it Wendy Rain, right? That's who you recently had on, Wendy Rain?
Yes.
Yeah. She said something like, this is totally different than other podcasts I've been on because, you know, normally they're talking about, you know, how'd she get started in porn? Why'd she do this? Why'd she do that? But it's like, she's like, it gives people a different perspective. Or she said something that was like, yeah, it's giving people a different perspective. Your show gives people a different perspective of these porn stars, which is fantastic.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, you have that and then, you know, drunken news articles that we do and all that stuff. And it's like, you know, at that point you're reading that. And it's like, so now it opens up new conversations. So it opens up new stories. And like me, I'm very like I'm articulate to the point where I pay attention to what people say, but I'll grab onto something. Like if they say something that's like, wait a minute, what was that? Like that registers in my mind. Like it goes back. And then as soon as they're done talking, I'm like, all right, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's go back to this comment. I need to know more about this, you know, and that's the whole thing. And it makes it, you know, more intriguing, more, you know, engaging and all that stuff. Because people, I used to have all the time with the live feed, people would ask questions. I'm like, you're asking them fucking the same shit that you can literally tune into any other fucking show in the first 10 minutes and find out that goddamn information. Like, five-minute Google search of how long have you been in the industry, you know, like that's the thing. Like I would get interviewed with people all the time with pro wrestling. They'd be like, how long have you been in the business? And I'm like, you can watch any other interview that I've had to find this out. Like, you know, it's all common stuff, you know, throw me with an interview that I don't have. Let me get into character a little bit from an odd question or whatever. And, you know, it's just, I don't know.
It gives a different flavor and you get to see a different perspective or maybe learn something new. Like when I had Ava on my show, she showed her paintings. Like I didn't even know she was a painter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was just really cool. Cause like, you know, and she, and I, it was video. So she could actually show her paintings. She actually went to college on an art degree or an art scholarship. I think it was.
Shit. I didn't That's know really that. Cool. That's cool.
Like people probably don't know this about her. So it's something. You know, and that actually I got tipped off because a fan of hers came to me when I said, anybody have any questions for her? And he's like, will you ask her about her art? And I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So stuff like that is like gold, you know, it's just stuff you don't see elsewhere. And they don't get to share it anywhere else either because people don't ask.
Yeah. And it's also the kind of thing, too, like me, I'm very observant. Like, you know, I pay attention. So if there's something going on in the background or if I see something in the background, I'll ask, hey, you know, what's that? And then that opens up like a whole, you know, realm, you know, for certain things or whatever and all that too. Like, I don't know. I think a lot of it is just people that have shows, they want to do it and they want to do it really bad, but they don't know how to do it. Like I tell people all the time, I don't know how to do a podcast. I still don't know. Like I am a pro wrestler that just knows how to talk and know how to interact with people. And I get on a mic and I just go and I do what I know. And I think that's what sets the show kind of a little bit apart from other shows is that I'm not running it like a podcast. I'm running it more of like a show. And it's like, you know, That's the whole thing of, you know, it's just kind of like a different flavor. Like, is it a podcast? Is it a video cast? Is it a TV show? What is it? I don't know. Nobody else knows. But hey, it's getting over with people. So that's all I'm worried about, you know.
Exactly. And it's fun. It's fun to talk to people and talk about, you know, yeah, of course, ask some questions about what they do. But yeah, have that other stuff in there, too. Like, you know, stuff they don't expect. And, you know, that can, yeah, like you said, that brings up new conversation that probably wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Oh, yeah. And organic reactions. Like, that's the thing. Like, just completely organic reactions or whatever. Then the same monotone of, okay, I just fucking answered this last night. Because most reps line up, you know, all these shows for these girls and guys go bam, 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 bam. And it's like, you know, you do that. And then it's like, one of those bams is us. And then it just kind of, it's like, wait, what is this that I'm doing? And it's like, you know, that makes me feel good that we've had so many people go, oh my God, we had so much fun. Like, I've never been on a show like this before. And it's cool that anytime I can go to a Reagan Fox or a Natasha Nice or Sarah J, be like, hey, you free? You want to come on the show? They'll be like, yes, like that, you know? And that's the whole thing, to have those big stars who have like close to a million, if not over a million, you know, plus followers. Just be like, hey, you know, let's do it. I mean, it sucks because you know how it is. The grind for this is so hard. And I used to get bent out of shape about that. Like, followers of this are, you know, but it's so hard to just make ground out there that even with these countless guests I've had to have a million plus followers, whatever, all that stuff, it's still kind of, you know, it's tread water territory a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard. It's a rough thing to do.
It is. And it, you know, it does help when those guests do also share it and stuff like that. That definitely helps too. But yeah, what you're saying too is that, you know, they had fun and they want to come back. And that is, you know, it was the other way around. We were like, oh, no, I'm not. You know what I mean? Like, that says a lot. People are like, yeah, I'm coming back. You know, like, take me back.
I think the problem is like with a lot of those shows, I think a lot of people, they expect that. They expect they're going to get the same thing. They're going to hear the same questions. They're going to hear this. They're going to hear that. And then they actually sit there and they watch our show and they're like, wait a minute, this is not what I expected at all. Or they'll sit there and be like, oh, well, when are you going to ask them questions? You must be new here. This isn't our, like, we don't sit here and just, we have gimmicks. This is what it is. Like, we're a gimmick show. Like, you know, and we started that at the beginning. Like, some of the earlier episodes we did, like, some of them were on Pod Nation TV a couple of months ago where we did do that. And like, I just watch it back and I'm just like, it doesn't seem natural. Like, it's just, it's weird. And then we kind of found our niche, you know, and that's when we started firing on all cylinders. Like, hey, you know, we're out here talking. Let's just roll. Let's just do this. Like,
and I think too, I was just thinking about this too, like on X, it's kind of nice that they're not like censoring your stuff or like saying, you know, sensitive or whatever. Maybe it's because you have so much other stuff as a part of the show. It's not like right off the bat. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, I know X has gotten a lot better. Like, I know there were a lot of girls who lost their profiles, and a lot of them got them back.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Like, Elon can't sit there and promote freedom of speech, but then yet not allow sex workers and porn stars to post their stuff too, because that also is a form of freedom of speech, freedom of expression, you know, whatever, all that stuff. Yeah. So who is he to say, oh, well, you know, you can't come in here and show a video of a girl shoving, you know, 11 dragon eggs into her pussy. But dang it, I'm going to sit there and talk about free speech, because it's like, bitch, I'm showing you free speech right now. Like, this is, you know, what my platform shows. So, you know, that's the cool thing with it, is it's like the Wild West. And I like the Wild West, you know, the more insanity, the better, you know?
Yeah. And I think when he took over Twitter, everyone was freaking out because they thought he was going to wreck it. And for a while, I think he did a little bit wreck it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people left. But I think you're right. I feel like it's maybe stabilizing and not being what it initially was. It seemed like there was a lot of censorship at first.
Yeah. And Elon's also not selling our data like Zuckerberg does. Yeah. Like, Zuckerberg has probably sold our data to every major company out there. And, you know, everybody's like, oh, well, I'll go to Threads. I'll go to Instagram. I'll go to Facebook. They're all owned by the same person. You know, X is not, you know, that's
right.
So Yeah.
Someone who's very prudish, apparently.
Yeah. You know, X has always been our bread and butter. We've always, like, Instagram has picked up a little bit, but X has always, you know, Twitter, you know, it's done good stuff for us, because you get someone like, you know, Natasha Nice, she doesn't have an Instagram. So you get her that reshares our content, you know, that helps out, you know, boom, people come over. So, you know,
right.
And Facebook is just a wasteland as it is anyway. So I check every show.
I'm there, but I hate Facebook. Yeah. I really do. I mean, I try to do a little bit there, but I hate it. And even in my real name, I hate it. Like, yeah. I hate the place. And I'll have friends be like, didn't you see my post? I'm like, no, I don't go on Facebook socially. No way.
Yeah.
No, thank you. It's too bad. It's a horrible place.
Yeah.
But we have other ones, thankfully, that we can go on. And so do you do any other social media platforms, or are those kind of the ones you stick to?
Those are the ones that I just kind of stick to, those main three. I don't really mess around with anything else. I was kind of at the drawing board of when we had the No Holds Barred version of, do I do it on X and Pod Nation, or do I start like an OnlyFans or a Fansly or something like that? And just do like a $1 or $2 tier, something that's like easy. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know what? I also want people to see this, because we're, you know, it's not like we have a million followers, or, you know, we have a big following, because we're still trying to make ground. So it's like, I don't want to do that and then lose people, because then they're like, oh, I don't want to pay $2 for this. I'll just watch, you know, the censored version, whatever, who cares? Like, so that's the whole thing that was the crossroad with that. I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, I'll find other ways to make money, which is a part of which actually is the Happy Hour production stuff that me and Rob from Pod Nation are doing. You know, we haven't gotten anybody yet, but, you know, collectively, like, Rob has a lot of talent with that. Like, I know a lot of talented people who do that kind of stuff. And we're just kind of like, hey, if you need any kind of editing stuff done, or web hosting or graphic design, or, you know, anything, you see our graphics all the time. You know, they always look good. That's another thing I learned from wrestling. You hand somebody a flyer and you look at the flyer and it looks good and it looks presentable and it looks like a wrestling show and it has wrestlers on it, you're going to go to that show. But then you hand someone a flyer and it's just all letters and all that stuff. I'm like, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is. Like, you go there and then all the wrestlers look like slobs and you're like, what is this? Like, and that's right. With that, you know, it's like, it sells it at the beginning. It's like, oh, this looks legit. This is going to be legit. So, you know, yeah.
Yeah, appearances matter. We're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but we all do. And we all judge a show and a book by its cover. That's just the truth. You know, it really just is. So where do you see yourself going in the future? You said you've got the new setup, and then you just plan on keep, you know, going the route you are now? Or do you see different areas you want to go to? Or do you have thoughts?
I'm a big, if it's not broke, don't fix it type guy. Like, I mean, we, as I said, we adjust things, you know, you kind of evolve, you kind of adapt, you know, that's what a lot of that kind of stuff is evolving, adapting, evolving, adapting. But as far as the show goes, like, I'm not going to, you know, fix what's not broken. Like, I do it in my basement. You know, I'm not going to sit there and go to a whole thing where, you know, I put a bunch of money into a studio and I have the guests come to me and, you know, all that stuff. Like, one of the main reasons, like my wife, 100%, I love my wife to death. She trusts me. And I told her, I was like, hey, you know, this is just me being an idiot. You know, that's just the whole thing. I can be stupid and, you know, be myself. And I don't give a shit about any of these people that have come on, you know, as guests or whatever. And, you know, I'm not saying that in a mean way, but, you know, I don't have kind of intentions or anything like that. So, you know, it's the kind of thing of, I don't have any intentions of doing the show and put, like, it doesn't, you know, benefit me any more or less if I do it in a studio or if I'm doing it in my house. Like, when this is done, I can literally just go back up and go back to doing whatever I was doing. I don't have to worry about driving home. You know, anything like that. I'm drinking in my own house, you know, so that's the whole thing. You know, I'm a big, if it's not broke, don't fix it type person. So it'll pretty much be the same for a good while.
Were you surprised that you went into wrestling, or was it something you'd always wanted to do?
It was a natural thing. Like, I mean, I watched wrestling since I was 5 years old with my mom and dad. So, you know, it was the kind of thing that I started training to be a pro wrestler when I was 13. So 1999, you know, that was when I, March of 1999, you know, and then I turned 14 in, you know, April of 99. So it's the whole thing of, you know, I signed up young, and my dad was like, look, I can get you a car or you can go to wrestling school. And I was like, well, I can always get a car later on in my life, you know, so yeah, let's do the wrestling school thing. And I went and I fell in love with it. And, you know, it's kind of all she wrote from there. You know, it's that passion. You know, you grow up, you watch all these guys doing this, and then you're in the ring doing it yourself. And it's like,
right.
You know,
it, so cool.
There's nothing else like it in the world. You know, I know baseball, football, you know, being able to perform in front of a crowd is what I like. And being able to know that, you know, people watching at home, listening at home, you know, whatever, even to this show, you know, that people are there like, hey, you know, somebody could be like, oh, this guy sounds like an idiot. This guy sounds like a jackass. Or somebody might be like, this guy sounds like he's pretty fucking entertaining or pretty fucking interesting. And it's like, if you enjoy yourself, that's what I like, is I like that entertainment aspect of being able to just do these things. And yeah, I mean, it just, it came natural. It's not that, it's not like one of those old school 1980s things where someone see me walking out of the gym, because a lot of gym doesn't really happen much with me. Even when I wrestled, like, you know, where someone sees me walking out of the gym and like, hey, you're a big guy, why don't you try wrestling? You know, it was a whole different atmosphere around the time when I started training and, you know, all that stuff, you know, going into the 2000s and, you know, 2010s and, you know, all that stuff with pro wrestling. So yeah, it just, it came natural. There was nothing else I see myself doing. Of course, I made no money doing it. I had a regular job, you know, the entire time and all that stuff. But, you know, I look back sometimes, I'm like, what if I would have played football when I was in high school? What if I would have stuck with baseball, which is another passion I have? You know, I'm a huge Orioles baseball, you know, guy. So, you know, it's just those questions of you have, what do I do? But, I, you know, I look back, everything I got to do, you know, everything I have today from, I have from wrestling. I met my wife because of wrestling, my job, my house, everything, this show, everything I have that has to do with my life is because I decided I wanted to become a professional wrestler. Where my life would be, what I would be doing right now if I would have never wrestled, I have absolutely no idea.
Right. So. Yes, you can't even really separate that out because, yeah, everything's so interconnected to that.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me about some of your tattoos. I know you have a bunch of tattoos. Do they have significant meaning?
I have, I would say I probably have, like, because I haven't had everything done, like, at once. It's all been, like, sessions and sessions and sessions. And then I have my whole back is in the process of being done, too. My calf, you know, so I think I have probably close to about 50, maybe 55 tattoos. So this arm goes all the way up, you know, big octopus diver here. I have a whole Friday the 13th thing that I'm doing. So, you know, yeah, it's just, that's another thing too. You get one tattoo, it all goes downhill from there. And it's just one after another. Actually, I have two appointments coming up to have more of my back worked on. So yeah, you know, a lot of fun.
Cool. Do you usually go to the same person?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Once you find that one person, you know, it's the kind of thing we laugh, like watch The Office, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, he charges a decent rate per hour and all that stuff. And I mean, he's the type of guy, like, he'll book like a whole window of time, but it's the kind of thing, he'll go there, he'll do work, you know, we'll take a couple of breaks. And like, he'll do like 5-6 hours worth of work, but he's taking his time. And then, like, you know, we take a handful of breaks too. And I'm like, what about 300, 350? And I'm like, that works for me. Let's do it. So, you know, but yeah.
Does your wife have tattoos too, or does she not like to get them?
She had fewer tattoos. I think when we met, she had like a little one right here on her wrist, but now she has one here. She has some on her arm. She has her leg. Like, so she knew that, like me, she freedom to get that, because most of the girls I knew or hung out with anyways had tattoos and were tatted up and, you know, stuff like that. I've always been a fan of tattoos. So, you know, she knew when we met, she's like, hey, if I want to get tattoo work done, it's not, you know, it's not going to be an issue with him. He's not going to care. So.
Right. Exactly. Definitely. He's not going to mind because he has them. Right. And so did you start getting them when you were young too, or like 18?
Actually, not really as young. I think I was like a late bloomer with tattoos. Okay. A lot of my other friends already had tattoos. I think I was maybe like 22, 23. Okay. At that point when I got my first one done. And then originally I started off with black and white, and it was the black and white. And then I went and I had color done, like this whole arm. I had like that aura, that coloring, put it in and all that stuff. And
yeah,
that it was all color. I don't think I have one thing that's black and white on my entire body. It all was after that. I was like, color, because the color pops and people catch it and, you know, all that fun stuff. So, yeah, that's it takes a lot. I'm not sure if you have any tattoos or whatever and all that stuff, but when they're charring into you for like hours, like this one, this one was one of the worst ones, especially when he was all blue. Like, this was all like ground beef when this got colored in.
Oh my gosh, I can imagine. I have one that I got when I was 18, and but it totally is faded and it looks terrible. And maybe someday I'll get it redone. I got it when I was in college, and I think I was 18, and my roommate didn't think I was going to do it. And I'm like, yes, I am. But I don't know. I think they're fun too. And I think they're a great way to express yourself too, things that are important to you. And yes. Well, it's been so amazing. Is there anything that we haven't talked about that you wanted to mention or visit or talk about?
No, I mean, I think whatever, as I said, you know, I'm at your mercy, whatever you want to talk about, you know, I'm always, you know how it is with my show. Like, it's funny, like, everybody's like, man, when you do other people's shows, you're a lot more like mellow, you know, you're very mellow. And I'm just kind of like, well, that's the thing. It's somebody else's show. Like, you know, they're the leader there. Like my show, it's like, you know, it's the kind of thing of, okay, I need to lead, because if something, you know, falls apart, I need to know, you know, mentally where I'm going to navigate and all that stuff. But also it's like, you know, I'm the type of person that's like, I don't want to take away from your show either. Like, I just, it's that respect thing. Like, you know, being in a different locker room in a wrestling show, I don't want to come in and take away. Like, I go and be like, hey, I do this certain move. Does anybody on this roster do this move as a trademark move? Because I don't want to do it. And then you look and go, you stole my move. I didn't know. So it's the respect thing. I'm asking now. Do you do this, or are you doing this spot, or are you doing this one thing? Because I don't want to go out there and duplicate it, and then someone sees it later and I'm like, ah, I don't care. Like, you know, so yeah, it's more of a respect thing. But no, I mean, I think everything's been great. You know, everything's been fun. So as I said, anytime, and of course, Rune, anytime you want to come on a show, actually, if you want to come on a Friday or whatever and all that, you know, I could use a hand on Friday with Bella Lexi, who was a police officer for 20 plus years, and now she does porn. So that should be interesting.
Definitely. That is very interesting. It's interesting just to see people that do that, like do something else for quite a while and then they go into it. And that's very interesting.
Yeah. It's like this, and then a hard left to doing this. And it's like, how did this happen?
I know, exactly. That's pretty cool. Yeah. That definitely sounds interesting. I'll have to check it out and see what if I'm open. I can't even remember. I have to look at my schedule. I don't know. I think I'm around. I'm not very good at
remembering. You're always welcome. You know that. So
yeah. Oh, I have so much fun. I have a blast. It's fun to just meet the different people and just talk and just, you know, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And it's always a door to, as I said, it's networking. You know, it's a door to that. Like, it's very easy that you have a guest on. The guest already knows how cool you are and what they expect out of you. So it's just very easy. I'm not one of those people. I'm like, oh, you stole my guest. I don't care, because they're doing 50 other podcasts anyways, most likely. Yeah, so, you know, what does it matter? We're all in here and have the same goal, and that's do this and maybe one day make money doing it, or, you know, whatever. So, you know, it's
absolutely. Well, I had a blast chatting with you, and I love coming on your show. So thanks for having me on there too. It's been very fun every time.
Anytime. It's a pleasure, Rune. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. You have a good night.
All right. Thanks. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye. Ready for some spring cleaning of your beard and groin hairs? Try out Manscaped products, where you can get 20% off with my new code RUIN, RUAN, to get 20% off and free shipping. In order to get the discount, use the promo code RUIN, RUAN, to do that spring cleaning you get yourself ready for sexy times. Heat up your spring with a new shave, a new trim. Perhaps try going bare. Get more skin smacks in the bedroom, if you know what I mean.